And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making it cool to be a conservative. Got a full show laid on for you. I'm pretty stoked about it, too. Got a couple of great guests coming on. Major General Joe Arbuckle always does an amazing job. We'll talk to him. By the way, he is a part of an organization called STARS. And if you're not familiar, STARS is an organization that, and I'm trying to think how I got to find the actual acronym stands for. Basically, it's an organization of retirees that pushes back against wokeness in the military. How about that? And I was proud to have just recently been named as a part of their National Board of Advisors. So that's an honor. It's very cool, and I'm certainly glad. STARS is a great organization, and we're about to have Major General Joe Arbuckle, two-star, on the show with us coming up here in a little while. STARS stands for Stand Together Against Racism and Radicalism in the Services. So that's why there's two R's in it. The text lines are indeed open. You can text it or call it. Same number for both, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. John from Huntsville already texted in. He says, Phil, nice monologue, but I got to be honest, I'm not a fan of Luke Combs or his music. Okay. Also, just wondering, what instruments can Big Rig play? Is he a good singer or just a musician? Big Rig, you are indeed both. Am I correct?
I do mainly guitar. I can
bass or lead or rhythm or
all of it. Lead, okay. Rhythm. I can play a little bit of bass. I can play a little bit of drums. I try to sing. I'm not very good.
But your sweet wife is the singer in the family.
Yeah, the wife is the singer. Yeah, she's amazing.
Awesome. There you go, John. Now you know. TL from Huntsville says, another great and lasting monologue. Thank you for the assurances on one of my continuing prayers. He says, I believe God works specifically through generations, and we are seeing God at work today. Amen. Thank you, TL. That's good stuff, man. You are so correct. I mean, we gotta pray up and be willing to mentor and answer to that next generation. Give them something to aspire to, and then when they ask a question, give them the right answers. Jeff from Indiana. Phil, when you said you was going to have a random thought on the monologue, I was thinking you were going to have a Joe Biden moment. He said, but it turned out to be a wonderful monologue. Hope for our future. I pray you're right. Thank you, brother. And then Allie from Athens texted in. She's the one that had me over there for that great veterans opportunity. Says, it was our joy to have you, sir. I've heard from several. They felt like it was the best coffee call in a long time. So thank you, my friend. It was my honor to be there. I mean, that museum, too, by the way. Alabama Veterans Museum. Why have I not been to this place before? Because it was just cool. And it was the epitome of what happens when a local community decides, you know what, by golly, we're going to have a museum. And they just did an amazing job at it. I mean, these are Smithsonian quality exhibits. Real stuff. Lots of uniforms, local heroes, state heroes. And I believe the buildings that they're in are refurbished old, like 100-year-old train depot. Just had a very cool feel. Lots of exposed brick, you know, and all that. So anyway, I loved it. I highly recommend it. You guys, if you got a Saturday and you're in North Alabama, or for that matter, better check their hours online. How about that before I had to start committing them to a time? But yeah, any day. The Alabama Veterans Museum. It's actually called that. It's not the Athens. It's the Alabama Veterans Museum in Athens, Alabama. Worth the trip, in my opinion, especially if you're into history. All right, listen, we got plenty of doings. We're going to come back. I'm going to jump right in. Strategic response. So you've heard about it's up on the screen right now. This happens all the time. But there's another two-star talking about the fact that we've had upwards of 169 attacks on U.S. forces just in the last few months. Now, listen, I understand that sometimes it may seem like a not so big a deal that a drone flew at our troops but didn't ever make contact. Is it? Is it not something that we should be dealing with in a more concerted manner? I mean, from the get-go, is there some kind of a fine line between what's acceptable and what's not acceptable that we're not aware of? All I know is right now, Iranian proxies have carried out upwards of 169 separate attacks, mostly by drones and rockets, against U.S. forces in various places, in Iraq, in Syria, in the Red Sea, the Suez Canal, and it's got to stop. Those troops are over there doing a job. You know, it's so easy to forget sometimes, too. So easy to forget that we have troops. Since we don't have a declared war right now, it is so easy just to put aside and not be mindful of the fact that on any given day right now, we have troops that are deployed into harm's way. If you could look at what's called a patch chart, and that's what we call it in the Army anyway, and they do that by having the actual patch of the unit up on a chart showing where they are in the rotations. Are they deployed forward? Are they in what they call their dwell time? Are they in refit? I'm just telling you, man, you'd see a cycle of troops coming and going. It's not like we're not at war. We kind of are. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. All you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. Y'all, I'm talking about this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, even Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. I'm at number one of the Triple Dipper, calling it Strategic Response. We've actually got it up on the screen again. I mean, every time I talk about something, it seems like it was up on the screen. But on the left side, CNN is now reporting UN Security Council meeting to convene shortly on U.S. airstrikes. And former Secretary of the Army, Esper, is who, by the way, was a real Secretary of the Army. I miss having somebody like him in the position. We've got right now someone who I have zero respect for. But anyway, that would be Secretary Christine Warmoth that I'm talking about right now. But yeah, they're talking about the UN Security Council convening to discuss it. Okay, go ahead and discuss, fellas. Bottom line is, we don't care what you come up with. The truth be told, we shouldn't have to endure attacks on our people. Period. I want to you know, point out that the majority, no, I'll take it back, all of the locations in which U.S. troops are currently operating that are, you know, under attack are there at the invitation of and with the consent of the host nation. We are not an occupying force. We didn't take, you know, any site by military force. We're that Tower 22 base where the three soldiers died and the 40 other were wounded just last week. Well, we're there with an agreement in place with the country of Iran, or excuse me, with Jordan, to deal with Iranian proxies. And on the bases in Syria, the same. On the bases in Iraq, the same. As we travel through, freedom of navigation allows us to travel through the Red Sea and through the Suez Canal, the same. We are not in any place that we are not supposed to be. In fact, when it comes to the sailing vessels, we are in what's considered to be international shipping waters. And yet, we're enduring strikes. And then the Houthis want to say, well, we'll lash out if you dare to strike us. And Iran is protesting. Well, you know what? Screw y'all. The reality is, if you're going to shoot at our people, guess what's going to happen? We ought to shoot back. My only question is, why is it taking us so long to shoot back? I mean, do you remember the scene from Black Hawk Down? I'm imagining that most of y'all out there have seen Black Hawk Down. I'm giving you the look over there, bro. All right, you see? Okay, good. There's one scene where the, you know, the convoy commander, who was played by Tom Sizemore, I believe. Yeah, Colonel Danny McKnight is who he's playing. Danny McKnight is standing there, and one of his troops is sitting up on the Humvee with a 50 cal, going, "Sir, sir, they're shooting at us, sir. They're shooting us." He looks at it and he goes, "Well, shoot back." And that's when it all opens up. Well, that's kind of the way our U.S. troops have been in some of these installations. "Sir, they're shooting at us. Sir, they're shooting at us." And yeah, they are. Drone strikes, rocket attacks. And listen, stuff happens, especially in our Syrian installations, on a regular basis that you never hear about. Don't ask me why, but you rarely do. You have to seek it out. But just so you know, we have finally done stuff. And I know y'all know this, but just last week, we finally conducted major airstrikes on 85 different targets. That was last week. Seven separate locations in Iraq and Syria. The story here on CNN calls it the start of what will likely be a series of larger-scale U.S. strikes on Iranian-backed militias who had carried out attacks on U.S. troops. About darn time. U.S. Central Command, it says, confirmed in a statement that the airstrikes were carried out in Iraq and Syria against Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps and affiliated militia groups. Here's the problem with the way they did it. It is highly likely that they telegraphed enough of an intent that any of the IRGC, the Iranians, the true Iranians, probably bugged out of there in plenty of time. And so we once again gave them the opportunity, get yourself together. We're coming. Not the way it's supposed to work. Iraq and Syria then went on to condemn the U.S. attacks as infringements on their sovereignty. Well, I got news. It was an infringement upon our right to exist, period. Our troops deserve to know that their nation's going to get their own back. So that being said, that was last week. Well, it's been happening more. U.S. launches new attacks right now against Houthi targets. That's what's up on the screen in front of me on the CNN side. Story here on NBC says much the same. The United States and the United Kingdom, so the UK joined us, struck 36 Houthi targets in 13 locations in Yemen. So now we have hit targets in Iraq, in Syria, and in Yemen. By the way, this is the first time we have hit anything in Yemen in years, like a long time. In what officials said were intended to disrupt and degrade their capabilities. The new barrage of attacks followed yesterday's airstrikes on 85 other targets. That's the one I told you about a minute ago. So this is 13 more target sites. It says the military action is a significant escalation in Washington's bid to deter the growing threat. All right. Is it? I look at this. Think about this both tactically and strategically. Tactically speaking, did they take out a key installation? Maybe. I don't know what the bomb damage assessment says. Once they get the BDA in, then we'll know. Did they take out key leadership? Doubtful. Did they take out key weapon systems? Maybe. Did they do it in a timely fashion? No. This has been ongoing for quite some time. Keep in mind, too, the Houthis in particular in Yemen have been allowed free rein to grow because Biden took them off of the terrorist list. There is an international terrorism list, and once he designates them, it changes the categories of how they're allowed to do international trade and banking and you know, whether we can have sanctions and what we can do in terms of rules of engagement. When you take them off of that, all that's off the table. Trump had the Houthis on the terrorism list. Biden came in and immediately to appease Iran, I'll take your friends off the list. That'll make you happy, won't it? Kibbles and bits, kibbles and bits. That's the way we were with Biden. Hey, Iran, can we be friends? Hey, buddies, hey, pals. You know how well they respond to that? Well, look where we are. Just so you know, NBC also reports Secretary of State Antony Blinken is going to return to the Middle East as soon as today, actually, with stops planned in Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Qatar, Israel, and the occupied West Bank. He's expected to further his diplomatic efforts for the release of hostages, an extended humanitarian phase, and increased aid to Gaza. Okay. Do you have confidence in Secretary of State Antony Blinken? I'll answer my own question. I do not. Now, are the strikes having the effect that we desire? I mean, you don't want to just hit them and then find out they're going to start punching back. You need to take out their capability to punch at all, right? Story on townhall.com, Dateline yesterday. Houthi militants promise further escalation after the U.S. launched retaliatory airstrikes. So they are currently remaining defiant. Says Houthi militants are warning of further escalations in response to the United States and United Kingdom launching additional strikes in Yemen. What kills me, by the way, is the logic of this. Well, how dare you strike at us? I mean, never mind the fact that we've been shooting at your ships. I mean, it's all good, right? But how dare you strike at us? Never mind the fact we've been launching rockets and like drones and speedboats, you know. Disregard all that. How dare you strike at us? Unbelievable logic. According to the Pentagon, the strikes struck weapon sites, storage facilities, missile systems, launchers, and other capabilities they have used to attack Red Sea shipping. A spokesperson for the Iran-backed militant group has now vowed to continue attacks on regional trade in terms of, quote, no matter the sacrifices it costs us. All right, listen. Here's the thing. We have got to get away from what I would call a proportional response. You don't want a proportionate response when it comes to a fight. I've said it before. I'll say it again. The only way to win a fight is with a disproportionate response. And the only thing they understand, by the way, is a disproportionate response. What they think is going to happen is more of the whole Biden, you know, we're going to, hey, you stop that over there. I'll tell you. And then eventually some imaginary red line gets crossed and we finally launch a, you know, an airstrike. Some years ago, when I was going through some senior officer training, we were required to read Major General Mark, Wes Clark, Major General Wes Clark. It may have been four-star General Wes Clark. His book was called On Modern War. I don't know if any of y'all have read it. It is a story of the, you know, the fighting in the Balkans, the Bosnia-Herzegovina, the conflict that we had there. We had quite a few U.S. troops over there, mostly in a so-called peacekeeping role in Bosnia. But General Clark, his book was all about on modern war, how we can surgically take out targets and do things without having to muddy up our boots. I've got a quote from Infantry Magazine, I think it was 1989, that says that all the gee whiz firepower in the world cannot get away from the enduring value of what it means to put actual boots on the ground. And that's the truth. I say all that because the General Wes Clark, I served under Clinton, everything's happy, hunky-dory, and oh, by the way, we can do this clean. We can have a clean war. That's what it was. You might as well call it on clean war, not on modern war. Clean war is a farce. Clean war only works so long. And clean war gets messy really fast if you don't start doing what you have to do up front. It's about coming back with a disproportionate initial. And I'm not talking, by the way, I'm not talking about go nuke them. I'm not talking about send in the Marines. I'm not, none of that. What I am saying is this. When they've attacked you 169 times, you've lost five of your service members. Those two Navy SEALs count also, right? You've lost five of your service members having to deal with them. 40 plus more injured, a number of whom are in critical condition, will probably never return to duty. When you're at that level of dealing with stuff and then you finally begin conducting surgical airstrikes in a proportional response, but you really don't want to escalate into a broader war, just go ahead and tell them, we will come in there and fix you if you don't fix yourselves. Take anything off the table. And that's not hawkish. That's common sense. That's called letting them know that there are no limits to what you will do if they do not find the ability to curtail their own behavior, because these are your troops. All right, folks, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back. Oh, yeah. Now, Jake Sullivan, he did say he would not rule out the possibility of strikes within Iran. But he's also quick to say, but we don't want to escalate. Come on, man. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. My brother, who we often refer to as Chris from Madison, my brother just texted in and he reminded me of a quote from Sean Connery in the movie The Untouchables. He said, they pull a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way. I need to find the way to say it like Sean. How about that with Sean Connery? They pull a knife, you pull a gun. Can I say it like he sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue.
That was pretty good. That was pretty good.
Oh, my gosh. Sean Connery, still, in my opinion, one of the greatest actors of all time. Love his stuff. Some would say, by the way, he was the James Bond. I don't know. I'm just laying it out there. I think Daniel Craig does a pretty good job, too. But why am I chasing that rabbit right now? Reel me in, Big Rig. Reel me in. All right. So back on topic. Houthi militants are promising escalations. But wait, I thought we've been striking. I thought we've been putting them in their place. Well, so this is like a family moment here. So the lovely Charlene just texted me too. General Keith Kellogg, who I really enjoy his military commentary, Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg says that the responses that we're seeing right now for the Biden administration are not a deterrent. That's the problem, is if these are meant to, are these meant to momentarily punish, like a jab, like a counterpunch, or is it meant to be a knockout blow? Are you trying to make sure they don't come back for round number two? Well, townhall.com reports Houthi militants are warning of further escalations in response to the United States and the United Kingdom launching additional strikes in Yemen. This dateline yesterday, by the way. According to the Pentagon, the strikes did indeed strike weapons, storage facilities, missile systems, and launchers the Houthis have been using, but they have now vowed to continue their attacks on regional trade. That's not good. Well, guess who else is also speaking up? How dare you? Well, Iran itself. Iran, in a story here on Fox News. Iran issues a warning to the U.S. about possible attacks on two cargo ships suspected of spy activities. What? Okay, let me get this straight. You got two spy ships out there. You know that we know that they are what they are. And so Iran warns the U.S. on Sunday about possibly targeting our two cargo ships that are allegedly spying. So let me get this straight. We're Iran. We're the ones fomenting all this trouble. We're the reason why, when you get down to the real nut and bolts of it, that multiple American troops have died of late. Because, yes, those were Iranian missile parts that were being shipped to the Houthis that caused two Navy SEALs to die in a boarding attempt. And then those were three U.S. troops dealing with issues related to Iranian proxies in Syria that died in a drone attack. But Iranian officials are going to warn us. Dateline yesterday, by the way. The warning was issued after forces from the U.S. and the U.K. launched airstrikes against Houthi rebels located in Yemen. The statement also appeared to show Tehran's increasing uneasiness with the U.S. strikes in Iraq, Syria, and Yemen, targeting militias backed by the Islamic Republic. What does that mean? They're uneasy? I don't want them to be uneasy. I want them to be scared crapless. That's what I want. I want them to go, all right, we got to stop this. Call Hezbollah. Get them on the phone. Tell them to stop. Call the Houthis. Tell them that's enough. Tell them no more free stuff unless they stop. Well, what we're doing right now with the Biden administration, my deep concern is this is what I would call pulling our punches. They are constantly telegraphing that we don't, you know, like Jake Sullivan. Well, we don't want a wider war. Nobody does. Everybody knows you don't. You don't have to say it over and over and over again. How about this? You know, it's a crying shame that people are going to have to die. How about that? How about you just get up there and go, there's a new sheriff in town, and you might get some of us, but we'll get all of you if you do. Just go ahead and lay it out there thick. That's what they respond to. It's also what our troops need. And I've got a piece here that I don't know that I'll have a chance to get into, really. But it comes from a website called The National Interest. And it says, dateline 2 days ago, this all started with Afghanistan. It says it's evident that within weeks of the August 30th, 2021 withdrawal that Vladimir Putin began massing his troops on Ukraine's border. It's no coincidence as soon as progress was announced on talks between Saudi Arabia and Israel that Hamas launched its deadly attacks. It's also no coincidence that since August 2021, China has only stepped up its bellicose rhetoric regarding a forceful unification of Taiwan. It says that each one of these things stems from the failure of the Biden administration to project strength and to care for its own in the pullout from Afghanistan. So, yeah, are we in a strategic response right now? Depends on who you ask. The bottom line is we are dealing with some things on what I would call the tactical level, taking out sites and trying to snipe back at them. But the question remains, have we truly conducted a strategic response? Coming up next, Major General Joe Arbuckle is going to call in and give us his thoughts on where we stand and the strength of the Biden administration to get the job done. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.